Hey, welcome to Starting Block here for another Thursday. You got myself, Grino, and I'm joined by a man who's as pumped up about the royal wedding as Dom Burke is over Donkey Show as my co-captain, Damo. How are we, sir?
Very good, Grino. Good afternoon, good evening to all the viewers and listeners out there on board. The listenership, as always, Grino and the blockheads.
In the millions.
Tuning in right around the world. Yeah, very exciting news about the Meghan. Is it Meghan Markle?
Meghan Markle,
She's a tidy unit.
She's also a divorcee.
A divorcee.
Yeah, divorcee. Take your potato.
I think if we're talking in like royal parlance, Greeno, parlance, it pun is. On parlance,
yes.
It would be divorcee.
Yes.
Divorcee.
Yes.
But nonetheless, she is a tidy unit. He's done well. He's come a long way from the frat parties with SS uniforms, hasn't he?
Well, has he?
I don't know.
It a sad day for single men all around the world when one of the most eligible bachelors in Prince Harry now locked in.
He's off the market.
He's definitely off the market.
Interesting. I won't say too much about the Don Burke affair.
Yeah. Actually, before we move on through the world.
Wait, no, I've just got to tell you one more thing.
Okay.
I heard today, apparently, what's her name? Lisa Wilkinson has come out and said that Don Burke once asked to lick her back when she was pregnant.
Yeah.
So that's quite odd.
In Don's defense.
That's very random.
In Don's defense, he did think she was a toad.
Yeah, or an azalea.
He was looking for a buzz.
Or an azalea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be one of the two.
Yeah,
that thing's got kind of the leaks. I'm wondering who's next to go, Damon.
Who's next to go?
Who's next? Yeah. Who's next on the list?
Could be anyone.
Because Rolf Harris, gone.
Gone.
You've got Bill Cosby, gone.
Gone.
Yeah, I'm thinking about our childhood.
Yes. All the heroes, Grino.
All the heroes.
Little did we know.
Don Burke.
Don Burke.
Who would have thought? Now, Tim Simona, Whisper is.
Well, you're throwing Tim Simona into the mix.
Exotic bet of the week. My money on next sexual harassment leak.
Yes.
Con the Fruiterer. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Mark
Mitchell.
Mark Mitchell, yeah. He was also...
But not Mark himself.
Not Mark, no.
Only when he donned...
When he was donning the con.
The con fruiterer.
He was donned the con.
A lot of inappropriate bananas being sold, Damo.
Yeah, a lot of squeezing and touching and...
The plums.
Couple of days. She'll be all right, mate. Hey, couple of days.
Watermelons, two for a buck.
thanks everyone joining us on the Periscope. Ted Dabrowski's joined us once again, Greeno.
Ted, where were you last week, champ?
Oh, I know. Our viewership went down 100%.
Yeah.
100% exactly. Reduction.
Welcome aboard, Ted.
Thanks, Ted.
If Ted's got any suggestions on who he thinks will be the next, our childhood
hero
down by the sexual harassment claims,
let us know.
Let us know, Ted.
Yeah, let's just throw wild allegations out there.
Reckless speculation.
Yeah, because it seems to be the season for... Hang on, the phone's...
Yep.
Sorry, yes? Okay, I'll let him know. That was... 2GLF legal, Greeno. Apparently, get off the sexual...
Off the sexual harassment. We're going to jump on the ashes then, Damo.
Okay.
The legal department.
Warney's quit, hasn't he? He's not playing anymore. So we should be safe.
We should be safe. There is a... Once again, teasers. There's a Warney story.
Is there?
In this segment.
Wow.
I don't know why I bother printing your rundown
anymore.
It's
like anymore. I didn't even know.
You haven't opened it in a month.
It's here.
My apologies. I didn't realise. Normally, you had it sitting there to the side.
Well,
to
I've
the
got
side.
Scorecards. I need to look at the scorecards.
All right, let's talk this scorecard, Damo.
Ted Dabrowski said something about Johnny Bairstow rang up probably on the gear. Something like that.
You reckon Bairstow's on the gear?
Bairstow could be on the gear.
Could be, all right.
Could be on the
There's
gear.
There's a chance.
Yep.
How did Australia win this by 10 wickets?
Yeah, interesting question. It was really tight for about 3 and a bit days, wasn't it?
England were on top.
They won
the first day. Yeah. They were well on top the second day when they had Aussies, 4 for 70-odd?
Yep. I'll tell you how we won.
When they got Marsh on the third day, that's when I was like, wow, this is
Yeah, because we were still about, what, like 100
120 behind. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you how we won. It's the same way we always win. Smith got runs.
Yeah. Well, that without Smith, we
That's
are
the
stuffed.
Way it goes. If Smith doesn't score, we can't win.
It's as simple as that, yeah. No
Smith or Warner, to a lesser extent.
It's very much deja vu from 4 years ago, where it was Haddon and Johnson that saved it. And in this instance, it was Paddy Cummins. Let's get through the scorecard in general, though. England, a very nutty, like gritty, sorry, 302 in the first innings.
I thought, to be
good
fair to England, yeah, it was really good. It was like a throwback to earlier years, wasn't it? There was no sort of slamming and bashing. I know at the Gabba, the tendency seems to be like Australia just pummels the other team into the ground. And that's what the scorecard will reflect at the end of the test match.
Yeah.
However, it looked like England were really up for it this time. And they were like, you know what? Let's just get a draw for once at the Gabba, you know?
Smart batting, though, as well, knowing that Australia only had four bowlers. So we're just seeing off. Like, strike rates, the first eight batsmen was 48, the highest strike rate, which is unheard of in this day and age.
That's like Renshaw figures.
Really smart. Good partnership between Vince and Snowman with 83 and 53 respectively.
Before we go too deep into it, can I just cut off and say how impressed I am with the English batsmen that they've brought in?
Which one? Snowman, Vince and Malan?
Yep, the three of them. They're all like sort of gritty players, aren't they? Like, they work hard for their runs. They don't give their wicket away.
Leave the ball.
There's some classy stroke playing there. Yep. Like, normally when England pick a bunch of, like, new guys to come into the team, like, you think about when Joe Root first came in or Johnny Bairstow even.
Yeah, fair point.
Like, you can take them out. You know, we were taking Johnny Bairstow's off stump out of the ground.
Gary Balance.
But this time, these guys were, like, really nutty and they were, you know, they were keen for the fight.
Yep.
They put up a really good fight and there was some classy stroke making in there as well. So they haven't brought out pretenders for once.
Good total of 302. However, I messaged you throughout the course of the day and I'm like, when England were well on top, they were what? Five for 246.
Yep.
At that point, I'm like,
they've got no tail.
They're still on for 400 here.
Yep.
And for Australia to go from 4 for 163, 5 for 246 to get them at 300, and that includes a Sean Marsh drop catch that added 11 runs to that total.
And Tim Payne dropped one as well, didn't he?
Yeah, but the sitter. You can quantify that a bit more because there was literally, it was the last wicket and they scored 11 runs after it.
Okay, fair enough.
But yeah, all up 302. Australia did really well to come back there that second day. Stark with three, Cummins with three, Lyon with two, and Hazelwood with one. He was a little bit off in the first innings, but in his defence, he's played one game of cricket in about 6 months.
Yeah, he's underdone.
He's a bit off. In reply, we talked about it. Australia's top order did what they continue to seem to do. Bancroft gone for 5, Warner 26, Usman for 11 against spin, not surprisingly.
Yep.
Hanscom gone for
14. Was that a smart move by the English to bring Moeen on so early?
Genius, man. Yep. Well, they got the wicket of Khawaja.
What did you make of Root's captaincy, just as a general comment?
Pretty handy. He was always trying to take a wicket. Lots of field changes.
Creative, wasn't he?
He was just being creative. He wasn't just sitting there, and it wasn't reactive. It was proactive.
Yep.
It just didn't seem to work because Smitty's the best batsman in the world.
What about when you had like 8 fielders standing on the square at one point right in front of the batsman?
Yeah.
He had 2 mid-offs, 2 mid-ons.
Just different tactics. I liked it. I was all for it. Yeah. And then it got to the point where Australia were, 4 for 50-odd? And it reached something I just didn't... I felt dirty.
Mm.
I felt really dirty. I felt dirty. Filthy. I felt abused. Uncomfortable. I felt like I'd had an arvo with Don Burke.
You felt burked.
Burked, exactly.
You don't want to get to the back of Burke, Greeno.
I had to cheer on Sean Marsh because we were in real strife
when he came in. You sent me a text message saying, I'm conflicted here because... Like, we need Marsh to do well for the team.
Yeah.
However, if Marsh does well, that ruins the whole pond shtick.
Yeah, that ruins our show.
Because we want him to fail, really, to get another duck.
Exactly. But it was good. The partnership between him and Smith...
saved the game.
Marsh scored 51.
Saved the game.
Definitely saved the game. But actually, I don't even think that to one extent, but it was Paddy Cummins with 42. Tim Payne, not surprisingly, scored what his average over the last 3 years is, 13.
Yep.
Didn't look like a smart.
He was entirely. He performed exactly as we expected.
As we expected, 13 runs.
Yep.
But it was Paddy Cummins with his 42 that really let Smith kind of open the shoulders a little bit. And Smith, the very Steve Waugh style batting.
It was incredible.
In the fact that he trusted his tail. He didn't mind. He wasn't holding it. He was like, okay, I'm going to hit you. I trust you, Paddy. You do what
you need
to do.
That's true, because I remember when, in the first innings when Bairstow was in and he started, Broad came in. Broad was getting peppered with short ones.
Yeah.
And he didn't last long. And then the next player came in and Bairstow was the next wicket to fall, I think.
He was, yeah.
Because he went for this ridiculous kind of, what was it, like a hook?
Hooky, yeah.
Yeah,
terrible.
Just a top edge.
Not smart.
And he was gone. And for what, about 40 or thereabouts in the first innings?
He didn't do much. It was 42 in the second innings where he got out.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So he couldn't bat on with the tail, you know, because he took the pressure
Yeah.
You know, I have to score now. I have to get the runs. But like you said, in stark contrast, Steve Smith.
You know the irony, though?
He's the real deal, isn't he, Steve Smith?
We'll get back to Smitty. The irony about Bairstow and his inability to bat with the tail, the reason that Moeen Ali is batting in front of him is because they're more comfortable with Bairstow batting with the tail.
Yeah, exactly.
Genius.
Exactly.
Well done.
Yep.
Smitty is definitely the real deal. 141 not out.
What is this, like 2 years now consistently the best? Three. It's weird, Greener. Sorry to interrupt. It's weird. It's almost like he's so unorthodox, they can't figure out how to get him.
No, exactly. There's no game plan for him.
As crazy as that sounds, you would think like you're more unorthodox, therefore you've got more weakness.
No.
But it's the opposite. It's weird. Yeah, they just can't figure out a way.
There's no game plan. Yeah.
Like if he played an orthodox style, they'd be like, okay, we're going to try and nip one in and take him LB or whatever. But he steps like 2 meters across to get in front of his stumps every time. He flicks them off his leg side. You know, they just can't get at him. And the stuff that you think that would work just doesn't.
Yeah. No, he's an absolute freak, and thank God he's there, because otherwise we're in trouble in this particular test. Struble with 3 wickets.
Captain's not. The captain won the game.
Oh, easily, yeah. He's an absolute freak. And got his test average above 60.
It's incredible.
Random Smitty stat while we're on it.
Since being captain?
After 57 tests, which Smith has, Coley had 16 tons. These are the best batsmen in the world. Coley had 16 tons. Kane Williamson had 15. Tendulkar had 13. Root had 12. Ricky Ponting had 11. Lara had 10. Rahul Dravid had 10.
Dravid's one of my favorite players of all time.
Callis had 9. De Villiers had 9. Sankara had 9. Steve Smith, how many do you think he's got?
21.
21 in 57 tests.
It's incredible.
He started his career as number 8, Damo.
Yeah, as a leg spinner. He didn't even get a bat.
That's unbelievable. Coley had 60. He's the second highest.
Yeah.
He's got 5 more at the same test. Not only that, he averages 72 as captain.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
That's the highest average as captain since Don Bradman.
Yep.
Who averaged 102.
Yep.
He's now got his overall test average above 60. He's an absolute freak.
He's going to go Hall of Fame. And who the hell would have thought?
No one.
Remember when we saw him come in? He was like, he can't bat. He can't bowl.
He's
like,
what's he
doing
here
in the team? Yeah. And how old is he? He's only like 27, 28.
Still young. Still got like 7 years in his team.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a freak.
Wow.
Australia then did the job with the ball. England all out for 195. Joe Root, top scorer, with 51.
That was some amazing bowling by, I think I told you in the first innings, I thought Nathan Lyon could be man of the series here because he's practically unplayable. Or was that the second innings?
Second innings.
Maybe it was the both. Second innings.
He was unplayable in the first as well.
Oh, so just many. Just going past the edge.
And, flight and turn, man.
Yeah, unbelievable. But also from Hazelwood was incredible in that second innings bowling performance. Like he really came back from the first innings.
Exactly. 3 for 46.
On the money. Like didn't give him a chance. Didn't give him a sniff.
Starkey 3 for 51.
And I almost want to play a sorry book for Pat Cummins because of all the crap we've given him over the last 5 years over being injured.
Let's see if he gets through the whole series.
Let's let him settle.
And then we'll give him a sorry book.
I reckon in 12 months time he could be as quick as everybody always thought he was when he was like an 18-year-old. And I'm talking like more up the one. I remember watching that series in South Africa. I was in England at the time.
That's right, you were too.
I was watching in a hotel room and he was bowling up around 150 grade.
Yeah, he's and that was the slowest wicket. That's what they said. Stark was like, I can't believe how slow this wicket is. He was bowling like low 140s, which is not very Mitchell Stark.
And so after this demoralising performance where England were in a winnable position, ended up losing by 10 wickets, they now head off to Adelaide to face Mitchell Stark, Patrick Cummins and Joshy Hazelwood.
Yeah.
Under
maybe Chad
lights,
Sayers.
Maybe Chad Sayers, but I don't know if you can change him.
I don't think you can either.
Under lights at a dewy Adelaide Oval, Greeno.
Yeah.
It's going to be hectic.
Oh, exactly.
Have they even played a day-night test match before, England?
I think they might have had one.
I thought we're the only ones who have played it.
I think it happened once in England, perhaps.
Really?
I could be making that up, but I think they may have played one already.
Okay. Because they're in trouble. Big time.
At the moment they are, but I'm enjoying it. Now, Australia had to chase down about 170-odd. That's like one of those iffy totals. Yep. But made light work of it. Cameron Bancroft, 82 not out. David Warner, 87 not out.
Amazing knock from Bancroft.
Absolutely unbelievable. Well done on debut. Now, that brings us to two things, Damo. Let's talk. Nathan Lyon, he's a wily fox.
He has some wily schemes.
Prior to that, there was a lot of talk in the media about the selections, putting a bit of pressure on Tim Payne, Cameron Bancroft.
Yes.
And then suddenly, Nathan Lyon came out with a bit of trash talk, which is very un-Nathan Lyon-like.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's normally the most quiet one.
Yeah, you know,
and nobody trash talks him either in return because he doesn't trash talk.
He's so
anymore.
Polite.
Yeah.
So after the test match, they were talking about, oh, you know, what was the reason you had this to say? And here's what Lyon's response was.
If you had your time again, would you make the same pre-match comments?
Well, I took a lot of pressure off Tim Payne and Cameron Bancroft, so I thought you guys were a little bit smarter than that, but it is what it is. I'm not going to stand back from what I said. And as I said, I'm confident in my own bowling. I feel like I'm bowling very well, so I'm very excited about where it's going.
No, you bowled terrifically and backed up the words, so I just wondered the comment.
That's enough of that. Yeah. Smart play.
Very smart play.
No one cared. No one's talking about Bancroft. No one's talking about Payne.
What about the little jab there? I thought you guys were smarter than that.
Genius. And that's why he's none better than...
Nice Gary.
One disappointment from the test, Damo. Very disappointed in Tim Payne's Nice Gary work. Not one.
He changed it, actually, from Nice Gary to, what was it, Gorgeous Gary.
He mixed it up. There was about 20 different Gary analogies. Yeah. Not one nice.
You didn't hear one nice, Gary?
There was not one nice. There was actually...
This is a travesty.
There was a Twitter excerpt which actually showed all the different things that he said to Nathan Lyon. Not one nice Gary.
Someone recorded all the Garys, did they?
Yeah, they did. That's
incredible.
And then put it on Twitter as a thing of all the different ones he is. That brings Cameron's Bancroft.
Yep.
Now, that makes the headbutting Ashes demo. Now, that
the
was
headbutting
all the
Ashes.
So all the talk after the match wasn't about the fact that Australia pumped him.
No.
It was about another angry little British redhead.
He got too boozed up in the pisser down under the hot Australian sun and couldn't handle his grog.
So I did something stupid. Now, Johnny Bairstow headbutted Australian Open Cameron Bancroft at a bar.
It's not like a British backpacker to get into a fight in a Sydney pub, Greta, in a Perth pub.
Exactly, who would have thought
that? What's wrong with them?
Basically, they're not going to do any... There's no punishment or anything like that. They're like, they both kind of laughed it off. But
Strauss actually came out during the test and said, oh, we're going to have a full investigation. And I think the little exchange at Bairstow felt the heat, says Ted Dabrowski. Indeed, he did.
It was very warm.
Most of the Pommies do when they come out here. But I think what this little exchange... We'll just play a bit of it, maybe, because it goes for a while. Yeah. This just highlights the stupidity of Australian sports journalists,
innings,
I think.
But
British
can you talk
sports
through,
journalists. Here we go.
The incident with Johnny.
I like that. Yeah. He just scored a 82 not out on debut.
Tell us
led
about
Australia
the
to victory. Let's talk about the incident instead. This is what's wrong with Australian media.
Exactly.
No, I remember it very clearly. We just won a Shield game for WA. One of our values is celebrate success. So we were
one of our values. So we headed to the
team
pub.
And as a group.
That's very Mitch Marsh is their captain.
At the same time, that coincided with the English team arriving in Perth for the.
That's the other issue here. The English team arrived in Perth and went straight to the pub.
Straight to the pub.
Yeah. Some of
I don't have a warm-up game, boys. Might have helped for this first test.
This is
on the back of Ben Stokes not being able to come over for being too pissed and hitting people.
Exactly.
Let's go to the pub.
Very amicable conversation with Johnny and he just greeted me with just a headbutt kind of thing. So I was expecting a handshake, but
top up that slight booze.
It wasn't the greeting of choice that I was expecting, and
greeting of choice.
That was the way that I took it. There was certainly no malice in his action, and we continued on having very good conversation for the rest of the evening.
Did he apologise to you that night or subsequently?
Yeah. I think we've heard enough about the headbutt at that point.
At the time,
that's enough headbutt talk.
That's enough headbutt talk.
I want to get to the bit. I can't fast forward it, unfortunately.
No.
We're just going to talk about it instead.
Okay.
It was...
The bit where there was four more questions about the headbutt after that.
Yeah. It just
about,
kept going.
Oh, what'd you think? And
that's why the clip's so long.
And his quote was like, oh, I thought that's a bit weird, but, play on.
It was a good hit, but play on. Yeah.
And then they asked him yet another question after that.
Yeah.
And he talked about how he has the heaviest head in WA.
Yes.
And they actually measured it.
There's a measurement for that.
Yeah.
You'll be pleased to know.
And at that point, that's when I think
Smithy lost it
because the debutant. Decided,
he's owning the media.
He's two questions in. He's like, "Well, Ian, this is a bit of a laugh. I'm going to take the piss out of this."
Yeah.
And he just owned him.
Yeah.
What was there one cricket question in that?
No. You know what, Greeno? One could argue that the collective shine has come off, say, the power of journalism in the modern age. With
doesn't
you know,
hurt. Help
you
with
know,
that shit.
Well, this is the point. Like, not just with social media, but like alternative media and stuff. I mean, there are people writing cricket blogs who would get more views than, say, heralded cricket journalists in local papers in Australia. You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree.
So I think players like now, younger players would know this kind of kind of stuff. And like Lion did, like, mate, I was just throwing out there a bit of bait and you guys took it kind of thing.
Lapped
like,
it up.
They're now treating you as the joke.
Yeah.
So when you think you can come up to the players and intimidate them and say, do you feel bad about this? Should you apologise for that? Is this wrong? Do you think you should have said that? They're just going to take the piss out of you.
Oh, I know. And you good know, on them.
Excellent.
Leads our entertainment.
Love it. Thank you very much.
So that's the Ashes demo. Next one kicks off Saturday. Day night test there in Adelaide.
Looking forward to it.
Predicting the no changes to the squad. Now, in response, Shield updates, Damo.
Shield updates.
Shield is continuing, and lo and behold, when Tasmania actually tries and is allowed to declare when it needs to, gets a win.
when Tim Bates are playing.
When Tim Bates are allowed to play, Tasmania won by 142 runs against South Australia.
142.
Tassie highlights, Jake Doran 114 in the first. Jackson Bird took 5 for 30 in their first innings, and Bailey 86 in the second. Okay. South Australia highlights, Zampa with 6 wickets in the first, Travis Head with 80. Test aspirants, I guess. Lehman, 1. Alex Carey, duck.
Yeah.
Callum Ferguson, 94 in the second.
94, not bad.
And then Lehman and Carey, 17 and 24 in the second innings, Maxie, respectively.
Maxie.
That gets us to Maxie Damo. Victoria, somehow New South Wales held on to a draw there.
Yep.
Stupidly not enforcing the follow-on in a four-day match. You've got to enforce follow-on and Shield. It's a must.
Absolutely. Because you've got to try and get them out because you don't have another day to
play.
You
don't have an extra day. Yeah. So Victoria set 9 declared for 562. New South Wales in reply, 243. They chose not to do the follow-on. Victoria, 3 declared for 148. And New South Wales held on for a very hard-fought draw, 8 for 256.
Just hung in there.
The highlights, though, Glenn Maxwell, in response to being dropped from his number 6 spot in the test squad, he was told by the selectors, go back and make hundreds. And he goes, all right, I'll do better than that.
I'll do it my way
too. I'll make
3
of them. he scored 278 in the first, about 20 in the second innings.
Yep.
278, Damo. And then I heard the pundits going, oh, it's North Sydney Oval. It's North Sydney Oval against the second string New South Wales attack.
What were we just saying about the journalists? Yeah. How stupid they are. Like, well, he's just done all that he can do, like what he was asked to do and more, and then they'll turn around and say, like, before the game, they would have been saying, he needs to make hundreds, otherwise he's no chance. When he makes hundreds, all they want to do is try and figure out why the hundreds aren't good enough.
Well, there's no logic to it, because if it was that easy to score...
Can we give a dick move to the Australian sports journalism, just as generally?
I love the alphabetical order over here.
Yeah, yeah, you notice
so
that?
So much easier.
You notice that.
So much easier. Now, straight away, discrediting what they had to say, very easy to do.
Yep.
If it's that easy to score 278, how come no one else scored a ton?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Let alone that. Secondly,
and we're not even big raps on Maxie. This is the thing. It's not like we're sticking up for Maxie or anything.
We're honest.
We hack him out
see
constantly.
It as it is.
Yeah.
And then this so-called second string New South Wales attack demo. Yep. Do you know who it had?
Who?
Doug Bollinger, Australian player.
Yep.
Trent Copeland, former Australian player.
Yep.
Steve O'Keefe, former Australian player.
Former Australian player.
Sean Abbott, former Australian player. Pretty handy.
Yeah, not a bad squad.
Moses on Reeks, former Australian player. Well done to the journos on that one.
Yep.
Now, who else did all right? Finchie with 76. White with 66.
It was just a hack to double 100, Greeno, at a small ground. It doesn't
mean
anything.
Marcus Harris, 62, not out in the seconds. Socky had a hard fought 50. Daniel Hughes with 44. Eddie Cowan with 32 and 40, not out in his return. Eddie Cowan was still there at the end, AMO.
Was he?
Saving our bacon.
Yep.
He came in about at like 8. I don't know why Neville was batting ahead of him. I don't know why Abbott was batting ahead
of him. Well, because he's too old, according to the selectors. So we've got to push him down the order.
We need the selectors to have a look at these guys. We're trying to save a bloody
match. We want to have another look at Doug Bollinger at 8, Greeno.
Exactly.
Just in case.
I forgot to talk about Jackson Bird. He took 8 for 81 in that Tassie versus South Australia.
Okay. So they're lining up for a shot at England,
aren't they? So far, this Sheffield Shield, 19 wickets at 18.8.
Incredible.
Unbelievable. And then WA and Queensland, another really good draw, actually, in that particular one.
Do you reckon the problem with Jackson Bird is he's not quick enough for selectors to care that much about him?
Yeah, well, that's the problem. Yeah, he doesn't bowl.
But he's a McGrath type, isn't
he? I know, he's brilliant.
Like 128, 129,
and he's been doing it for like 7 straight seasons.
Yep.
He's good stuff.
Yep.
This was a good one. WA highlights in the first innings. Mitch Marsh, 141. Bazisto, 60.
They're all lining up for a shot.
Short, 59. Inglis, 53. Turner with 101. Inglis with another 54. Kelly took 5 wickets. For Queensland, Wildermuth had 95, Labuschagne with 92, Burns with 81, Renshaw only 18.
Burns. See, Burns is the forgotten man in all this as well, wasn't he?
He backed it up here in the second innings, though. 103 for Burnsy, Labuschagne with another 72.
Wow.
Hemphrey with 20, and Schwepson took 4 wickets.
See, when there's a sniff there to get into the Australian team and a chance to hack at the headbutting Poms, then they're all going to line up, aren't they?
Which then brings us to this day, Mo, and it got me a little bit excited because it means I get to play a bit of these ones. I don't want to wait for our lives
to be over. Will it be yes or will it be? What's the pond done now? Or the creek,
this is
the
pond. This is a bit of creek talk, though, mate. Get out of there. Yeah. This is Boof today.
Boofa.
Talk about an overreaction to one.
Get down, Boofa.
Talk about an overreaction to one Shield innings, Damo. Marsh back in Ashes selection frame.
Hell no.
Australian coach Darren Lehman has spoken out of the prospect of an all-rounder winning an Ashes test caller.
Please,
he's only been impressed with Glenn Maxwell and Mitchell Marsh so far this Sheffield Shield season.
Back on the block, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Remember, get in touch with us. Facebook, Greeno, YouTube, Twitter, Periscope. What else? And the podcast.
Podcast, the starting block.
Startingblock.podbean.com.
Something like that. That's all right. Yeah, sounds about right.
Sounds about right.
Rugby League World Cup fever, Damo.
I'm over the fever, actually. I think you'd be pleased to know I went and saw the doctor.
Yep.
And I sat down with the doctor.
Hmm.
I was in a waiting room for about 20 minutes. I looked at the magazine, then I was in, and I sat down.
Oh, you don't touch those magazines?
No, I didn't touch it. I looked at it. Mm. You see, I didn't actually pick it up.
Oh, okay. So
I
looked at the cover. Like,
looked at the magazines.
What's happening with,
Marie Claire.
It's obviously a bit of Jennifer Aniston action happening.
Always Jennifer Aniston.
Kardashians.
Yeah. I didn't actually see much of Kim. I don't think there was an okay on site.
Oh, fair enough.
So that might explain it. Mm. So I sat down with the doctor and I said, look, I think I may have contracted Rugby League World Cup fever.
Yeah.
And she turned around, she checked my pulse, she looked in my eyes, she made me stick my tongue out, and she said, there's actually nothing going on.
Mm.
And I was like, great, please. That's what I thought.
That's what you expected.
That's what I expected.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little more about Rugby League
World Cup? I can, a little bit of Rugby League World Cup. Okay, so
seems like much ado about nothing.
Once again.
Unless you're Tongan and you're getting pissed in St. Peter's where you'll get knocked out on the street, apparently.
Yeah, no, they had a good old time. And
it was a bit of a slobber knocker.
Public holiday, apparently, in Tonga yesterday, today.
Was it really?
Because of their so-called success. Success looks a bit different in Tonga than here in Australia.
Semi-final.
Getting knocked out in the semi-final by England.
They beat New Zealand.
They did. That was solid, but
they nearly won against England.
They did.
You know what it's like? Nearly. It's like Australia at the World Cup in football when they lost against Italy.
Fair point.
Even though we was robbed, it was still like a big celebration, wasn't it?
Well, that's what they were cranking out this week, the Tongans, when England won 20-18.
We was robbed.
Controversy when Fifita was stripped trying to get over there for a potential match winner.
Just out of interest, was Johnny Bairstow in the city that night? Because there were plenty of arrests and people, with blood streaming from their faces.
Could have been a headbutt.
In St. Peter's, could have been a headbutt. Was there, if you were in town on the night of the Tonga-England match, get in touch with us at the starting block, one word, don't forget, drop the K at the end.
Let us know.
Let us know if there was a ranger, possibly shirtless, running around, pissed up as a chook, headbutting random Tongans in St. Peter's. And we'll let Andrew Strauss know because he loves an investigation.
You've got to investigate. You got to look into these things.
Loves a good investigation.
England were up 20-0 with 8 minutes to go. So the fact that Tonga still were in with a chance.
Yeah, how did that happen?
They scored 3 tries in 8 minutes. Yeah. It was pretty ridiculous. Everyone's blaming, the ref, it was the right call. And who cares if he didn't send it up? You know, how about they go with their instinct?
Yeah.
But...
yeah, that's why...
how come no one's talking about the fact that Daniel Tupou, in like the 10th minute, dropped the ball with the line completely open on a regulation winger's catch?
Because it's more exciting to talk about a correct call. Greeno, this is why I hate video refs. Sorry to sidetrack. This is why I hate video refs in any sport altogether.
Mm.
And one of the arguments I'll put to people who are like, oh, we need the video refs in rugby league is refs are now so afraid of making a wrong call that they'll send up a perfectly good call, like even when it's not marginal. Like, I just want to check the grounding. Yeah. And you're like, everybody knows it's a try, mate.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let's just get on with it.
Yeah, move on with
the
game.
And
then the guy did it, and then he gets lambasted, even though he did the right call.
Exactly. And the other thing is people say, it gets rid of all the mistakes.
Mm.
Bullshit. There is just as many mistakes refereeing-wise with a video umpire.
Yeah, because it's over
than there was without it.
Yeah, just roll with it.
It's ridiculous. Get rid of it all.
While we're on referees, Damo, before we get to the other game, the Mick Potters.
Yes, the Mick Potters.
We threw Michael Maguire in that ring because he was touted for about 17 different positions.
What's his nickname? Midge or?
Madge.
Madge.
Exclusive from the Buzzard. Michael Maguire approached to become the referee's coach.
Oh, that's a new one. That's a promotion.
How come no one's going to touch with Mick about that one? Mick could run the referees. He'd do it easy.
He'd tell them what to do.
He'd have them straightened out in no time.
Yeah, because he put one of them in a chokehold or something. Oh, no, that was Jason Taylor.
That was Jason Taylor. That wasn't him. I think it was the other player who put him in a chokehold. Okay. He was kung-fuing, as I remember. But then we made a mockery of this. We're like, okay, look, these quarterfinals. You know, not the exciting contest you expect from the top eight sides in the world. It's correct. Fine. We're going to get to the semis. Finally, a tight contest.
Yep.
Australia 54, Fiji 6.
Ouch.
Valentine Holmes equaled Graham McGann's 1986 test record of six tries in one match. That goes with his 5 tries in the last match. So he scored 11 tries in 2 weeks. He broke Wendell Saylor's record for most tries in an entire World Cup in doing so. Now, 6 tries, Damo. How have you rated the Channel 7 coverage comparative to Channel 9 thus far?
Well, I just want to say, this kind of cheapens records as far as I'm concerned. And I'm sure Valentine Holmes is a very good player, is very deserving. I'm sure he played very well. But in 100 years' time, people won't be saying like, oh, do you remember how good Valentine Holmes was in that World Cup to score 6 tries in one game? No.
Yeah.
They'll be saying, who the hell is Valentine Holmes? Yeah. And why was a test match, a semi-final in a World Cup between one obviously good team and one really, really, really bad team?
Yeah.
Like, that's what they'll remember.
That's what footy's all about.
Yeah.
Rugby league coverage. Now, with all that being said, it's good to see Channel 7 taken. They've tried to do their own thing. They've tried to avoid Channel 9's regular, you know, spiel that they pump out.
Yeah.
Now, one thing they have taken on, though, which is good to see, is the ridiculous awarding of Man of the Matches to Cameron Smith.
You've had enough of Cam.
Well, it's ridiculous how many Man of the Match awards Cameron Smith gets when he's not even the best man on the field. So Valentine Holmes scored 6 tries.
Yeah, but he's garbage.
Cameron Smith was Man of the Match. Cameron Smith, no try assists, no line breaks.
Valentine Holmes is a historical anomaly, Greedo.
He made 40-odd tackles, and they're like, oh, yeah, better give it to Cam. Yeah. It's contractually obliged.
It's not call me Cam, it's call me Man of the Match.
Yeah, exactly. Let's move on for that. Oh, no, do we do a preview?
Call me Motam.
Sure. Are we going to bother previewing?
Yeah, Australia will win by about 24 points.
Yeah, exactly.
I think.
The odds, Australia are $1.10 in a final.
Really?
In a two-horse race.
Yeah. Isn't Bennett coaching, though, England?
Yeah, he is. Welcome to Rugby League World Cup.
Remember, he did that one for New Zealand where you all picked Australia in that World Cup where New Zealand won. So
he did.
You never know.
It won't happen.
You know.
This one, Damo.
Love it. My favourite part of the
bit
show.
Bit of NRL court dates. This has got a bit of the Don Burks about it, Damo.
Not again.
League immortal Graham Langland has been charged with 6 counts of indecent dealing with a girl under the age of 16 in the 1980s.
You smell like a spring dandelion.
The case was mentioned in Brisbane Court earlier this week.
I want to churn your mulch.
Yep. So, Graham Langland's league immortal. I'm going to stop that again. Yep. Now, league immortal, Damo. With the greats of like Joey, I'm guessing there's not much of a
character. Someone else put it in my pants.
There's not a character clause to get into the Rugby League Hall of Fame, the Immortals, I'm guessing. I hope not. How's this case come about, though, like 40 years after the fact?
Well, it seems to be the flavour of the day, Greener.
Yeah.
But you wait until everything's long forgotten and then you bring it up.
That's pretty full on.
Then you bring it up.
And another announcement this week. So one Mick Potter option off the board.
Off the table.
New South Wales. Gone. Really? Now, New South Wales.
We've got a new coach.
We do.
Not Freddie, is it?
Oh, it will be.
It's going to take us down to the pub for some schooners for team bonding.
Well, here's the thing. Brett Fittler's been confirmed as New South
Wales
coach.
Maybe put a couple of bets on. Where's Tim Simona? He'll be assistant coach.
My question is, Damo, do you remember the reason that was touted about for Laurie Daly getting the boot?
No, I don't remember. Please refresh my memory.
He couldn't control the drinking culture in New South Wales, remember? Remember Josh Dugan? Blake Ferguson decided to go have a bit of a beer and a punt for like 17 hours.
So I know the man to bring in to solve this problem.
Freddie will fix it. Underpants off, boys. We're running through the hotel.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Yeah, back on the block, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. V8 supercars.
V8
demo.
Supercars. You watched the first race you've watched all year. Yep. In the last race of the year.
Last race. Well, you know, might as well say the best.
What a time
last.
To do it. Was it? I got told by my brother-in-law, who's actually a big V8s fan, Greener, that there was like 5 guys going for the championship before the start of the round who could possibly win it. Yep. And then Wincup binned it. in the first race. So I don't want to cut you off too much.
He kind of gave you a bit of a bum steer with that rap there.
Did he really?
So there was two guys that could win the championship.
Okay.
In the first, so it was basically between Jamie Whincup and Scott McLaughlin.
Scotty Mac.
So in the first race, Whincup, who had a 3-point lead going into the final race.
I thought
race,
he was leading by like 200.
No. It was really, really close because okay. McLaughlin made up a lot of points in the last race.
Yep.
So Whincup, first lap crash.
Wow.
And Scotty McLaughlin, how did he respond? Got the big win. So he gave himself 150 points.
So he's winning it at that point.
He was winning at that point. Whincup managed to get back on the track, finish the race.
Because you got to do, 75% of race distance?
And which he was able to do. He was about four laps down, but he's able to get there and got up to, 15th. And so still got a couple of points. So managed to negate a bit of the issue. So okay. That took it to the final race. This is the race I actually did watch.
Okay.
Because I wanted to tune in.
Let us know.
This one was an absolute cracker. So Jamie Whincup, if at that point, McLaughlin, if Jamie Whincup won, McLaughlin had to finish 11th.
Is there a new qualifying for the second race, or did they start?
Yeah, new quali. Yeah, okay. All new. Yep. So he had to finish 11th if Jamie Whincup won. So to put into context, Jamie Whincup did what he had to do.
He won.
Okay. He got the 450 points. Yep. So then it was up to Scotty Mac to see what he had to do. All he had to do was finish top 11.
You could finish top 10, just trundle around.
That's all you need to do. How did he respond to this pressure, Damo? Mm. Three penalties.
Wow.
What first penalty was speeding in the pits.
Oh,
that one can be avoided. Wow. That one definitely can be avoided.
That was driver error.
That put him back into the pack, which is where the next issue happened, because he then got another 10-second stop penalty because he made contact roughly with someone.
Wow. He was panicking. He was choking.
He was panicking a little bit. So then he was back.
This is why I was like, Greeno, Whincup has to win it because he's got the experience of five wins. If you go back to the last episode, it's exactly what I said.
That's what's going to happen. So then it was all the hard work had to be done because he had about...
Where was he?
He was back 15th, needing to be 11th to get the championship. Now, by doing so, Newcastle, this new track, this street track...
No one knows it.
There's no grip. There's no grip and there's no space to overtake anywhere.
Gold Coast.
There's one corner that you can possibly get through.
Wow.
He managed to sneak all the way through and got to 11th. He had the championship in his hand.
Yep.
Until one Craig Lowndes.
Lowndesy.
Tried to go up the outside of him, and then McLaughlin pinched him out, causing Lowndes to crash on the last lap, leading to an after-race penalty in which McLaughlin had to go back another four spots. Cost him the championship. He had it in his grasp. He was 11th at the time when Lowndes was trying to overtake him on the last lap. Squeezed him out. He said it wasn't intentional because in that very first lap issue, he'd actually lost his left-hand mirror, so he didn't see Lowndes there.
Okay, that's fair enough, I guess.
And he wasn't trying to squeeze him either because he was just trying to get the racing line for the corner.
Yep.
So he was moving across, not realizing Lowndes was there, bumped him, copped the penalty.
Because why would you try and take him out? You've got the inside line. You can hold the line on the 100%. Inside and you'll be right.
So heartbreaking for Scott McLaughlin. Wow. And in doing so, the grace in which he took it, they didn't challenge the thing. He didn't complain about the three penalties, even though one of them was a bit dubious.
He said, I'll come back next year.
He's like, I'll do it next year. It's my own fault. I had it in my chance. I should have won it myself. Now,
gee, I don't know. I don't know if he'll ever get another chance. It's a bit of the Sete Gibbonaus. It's a bit of the Mark Webbers.
It could be, but...
Because it's the Philippe Masses, it's such a crushing way to lose it when you're so close, you're touching it.
Well, let's hope he learns from it. And doing the way he acted after the race, he earned a fan from me.
Really?
He's my new man.
A nice Gary?
Oh, definite.
See, we give a nice Gary to the guy who didn't win it.
Because nice Gary! The class he showed in not whinging after. They've robbed me.
Bullshit.
He's just like, yeah, mate, I'll come back next year. I'm going to win it on my own mind.
Fair enough.
So once Garth retires... Scotty Moe is my new man.
Scotty Moe. Once Garth retired, you didn't throw that little caveat on it at the beginning.
Yeah, well, no. I can't just change allegiances of my man. Garth's been my man for 20 years.
Well, my guy's retired now, Todd Kelly.
Exactly, yeah, the toddler. Have a good career. No, give him a nice Gary as well.
Yeah, nice Gary.
Good career by a toddler. Probably a
couple of Bathurst wins.
Yeah.
Didn't crack it for a championship.
It was his brother won the championship, wasn't it?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He actually won. I think he's the only driver in history to win a championship without winning a race.
Yes, may have been.
It was just Mr. Consistency. Scotty Mac could have used a bit of that on the weekend by the sounds of it.
He could have. Do we waste our time with the F1 results? Because who cares?
No, go through it. Cover it off. Tick it off, Greeno.
Bottas, Hamilton, Vettel, 1-2-3. Thanks for coming. Season's over.
Okay.
New F1 logo, Damo. Have you seen it?
No.
It's a turd.
Is it a picture of a young woman and an aged, decrepit...
Oh man, there you go. At the bottom left-hand corner. That's the new F1 logo.
It doesn't even look like.
I know. It's a mush. It's a mess. It's a turd.
It's a nothing. Like, it's a nothing. It's a nothing symbol. Thanks for that.
In all your years of sports broadcasting,
I've never been as outraged as I am right now, Bruno.
I'm going to do another.
Nice, Gary.
Please talk do. About a man who knows how to handle pressure.
Yeah.
Eats it. One Cameron Davis Damo.
Who the hell is Cameron Davis?
That's
Greeno?
My point. He won the Australian Golf Open, chasing down Jason Day on the final day.
Wow.
He hit 7-under in the final round to finish 11-under ahead of Johan Blixt. Matt Johnson.
Jordan Spieth was never in the mix, by the way.
It wasn't. Cameron Smith and Jason Day.
Excellent.
Ended up back in fifth. Nice, Spieth was there in sixth.
Okay.
Got a bit of a problem here with the mic fall.
The mic stand. Right? That happened the other night on the weekend show.
It's a bit off-putting.
We'll get through the end of the show and then I'll fix it up.
Can we fix it between segments?
I'll fix it up.
We'll see how we go. All right. Davis only 22. Day saved his worst round for last. Surprisingly, Day yet to win a tournament all of 2017.
Yeah, back on the block. Maybe we should just hit the party whistle now before we
just to make
sure we get it done.
Your local station 89.3
2GLF. Make a bad habit of cutting segments.
Not after that first Ashes triumph. We're not cutting the Mitchell Stark party whistle.
No, that has to be there. I'm going to quickly do this demo.
What do you got? Moon siren seems to be
the hardest one. Well, this one actually has to come from you because
Okay. This
last
is
week.
We normally volunteer, sorry, books. This is a bit odd.
Well, last week it was a small snippet of the show that kind of went really under the radar. Okay. So when I was listening back just to see, you know, what defamation lawsuits we might be dealing with
who
this
have
week.
I upset? Well,
just
next so week it's going to be lawyers. Next week it's going to be Burke's backyard. Burke, so
yeah, Don could be out of trouble there. you criticise Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn
coming
Lynch.
Out of retirement and just sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
You know, mate, you could have done
during
that
the American anthem.
Yeah.
But he stood up for the Mexican anthem, Greeno.
I thought you criticised him for sitting and just being on the bench.
No, I criticised him for sitting during the American anthem but standing for the Mexican anthem.
Ah, my apologies.
Which seems a little counterproductive. That's why I said if you're going to come out of retirement, what's the point of just sitting on the bench?
Sitting on the bench. I realised he was actually suspended. That's why he was sitting on the bench.
Oh, he was in all his gear, though.
Ah, okay, yeah.
He was in all his gear. That's a dick move by you. This is what happens when you volunteer
you
other people
dick.
Yeah for sorry books
folks are dumb
there you go from...
holy buff quickly demo hot stove
yes
and then I got one more filthy joke to tell before I go.
Let's bounce through it.
Now I think I told you last week I had trouble with the flint. I called it the electrician. Now I left you in charge of organizing the electrician. Now correct me if I'm wrong,
didn't he show up? Checks in the mail.
I have the feeling that you may have sourced a current affair for this guy.
Yeah,
because the flint's still not working. I'm gonna have to get another guy out this week. That's
dodgy tradesman.
That's how cold the stove has been when we're like week seven
week
into this
seven
so-called
of the
hot
stove.
And all that's
you wouldn't
happened,
want to be waiting for an egg, would you?
No rush. One signing happened this week, Damo. Doug Fister.
The Fist.
Had 1 year deal with an option to sign with the Texas Rangers.
Everyone was hanging on the edge of their seat for the Fist.
He'll get $3.5 million.
Get that up, yeah.
He went 5-9 with a 5 ERA last year.
Well done.
So
well done.
I'm going to get the electrician out this week. We're going to get this bad boy sorted.
Yeah.
Now, V8s before we go. I saw this little tidbit.
Did he kick up a stink, Fist?
No, he's fine. I actually like Doug Fist. He's a good man.
Is he?
He got hit on the head with a return ball in a World Series a couple of years back. He's like, play on. And there was no Johnny Besto inside.
It's a good hit, play on. Yeah.
V8 Kings X responds, trophy can keep him warm.
Trophy can keep him warm.
So someone's taken the time to go and speak with Jamie Wincup's ex-wife.
There you go.
See what she thinks of Jamie, just to get this crappy little headline. I'm not clicking it. I'm not going into their clickbait.
No.
Do you think Jamie's the kind of guy that'll sidle up, just have the trophy in the boudoir?
Yeah.
Bit of Harvey Weinstein, pot plant action, perhaps.
He's definitely a good looking rooster. I don't think he'll take it to the shower.
No, none of that. Just
because
kind of
you get that rust, Greeno.
Yeah, you don't want that on the trophy.
And VA drivers know all about rust.
Admittedly, though,
Greg Rust.
He has got.
You see what I did there? Yeah.
He has got seven of them, so he can probably afford to.
That's true too.
Keep one in the boudoir, one in the shower. He probably lost two to his wife in the settlement.
Is he the greatest V8 driver of the modern age, Greeno?
Well, it's hard to pass him, really.
Undoubtedly,
seven championships.
Better than Scaife.
Scaife.
Better than Scaife?
I rate him better than Scaife.
Yep, me too.
Because consistently, yeah, he's done it for God knows how long.
But he doesn't get the plaudits of the others.
No, not really.
Because they're all like, oh, he's got the best car, you know. Yeah. But he was, remember,
you can't
he
have
was
the
in
best
a,
car for seven straight years.
Well, and you
that.
Can't win how many. He won five of those championships when his teammate was Lowndes, who was also in the best car.
Also
so don't give me
also
that.
Also considered one of the best of all time.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
Move on, bat on. So predicting Aussies win Ashes 2?
I'm expecting a little bit of a fight back from England, and I think if we're batting under lights, then Jimmy Anderson may give us some problems.
Yeah.
Because I tend to think, like, these day-night test match, it's all about who's bowling at the night time, who gets the upper hand. So that actually might be a good toss to lose.
Yeah, fair point.
You know, if you're batting first, you might be like four or five down come the evening session.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy Anderson takes the new ball for the last hour or so. You could be in big trouble.
Could be. All right. So, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
We'll always be bosom buddies, friends, sisters, and pals. We'll always be bosom buddies. If life should reject you, there's me to protect you.
If I say that your tongue is vicious,
if I call you uncouth,
it's simply that
whoever